It takes an enormous amount of planning and energy to create a new car color, anywhere from 2 to 3 years. On AutoLine this week, our panel of experts discuss everything from how color will play a role with autonomous cars to how it can affect the way people feel about a vehicle they're driving. And now, here's your host, John McElroy.
I want to thank you all for joining us on AutoLine this week. You know, in the automotive industry, color plays a huge role. If you buy a new car, the first thing anyone's going to ask you about it is, what did you buy? Second question they're going to ask you is, what color is it? Well, sometimes, though, in the auto industry, color does not get the respect it deserves. On today's show, we're going to change that all around. I've got three experts in color, including Nancy Lockhart, who's the color marketing manager for Exalta. Jane Harrington is the global color styling manager for PPG. And Paul Chorney is the head of color design for BASF North America. Great to have the three of you here.
Thank you.
What I hinted at, if sometimes color doesn't get the respect it deserves, is, as you all know, if you go out and look at the cars driving by, overwhelmingly, they're black or white or silver or some shade of gray. And yet you guys put your heart and soul into color, and I'm wondering, are we going to see a change? Will color get more respect? Nancy, let's start with you.
Sure. Well, I think, you know, some of those trends that you're talking about, these neutrals, really didn't start until around 2001. So when we looked at silver, when it became the most popular from 2001 to 2006, it brought all those other neutrals up with it. Before that, we had lots of color in our spectrum. But color is coming back. And even though we have this vast amount of neutrals on the road, it's those colors on the road, like the bright reds and the blues, that get noticed the most.
Yeah. Jane, your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I would agree with that. And also, if you think about it, white, black, silver, and gray are offered on every single vehicle segment. So that's a little bit why those colors, you see so many of them, because they're considered core colors. But you're starting to see this increase in reds and blues and the chromaticity of those colors.
That's great. And Paul, you know, this white, black, gray, whatever, it's a global phenomenon. It's not just here in the U.S. So why do you think everybody has commonized on those?
Yeah, I think when people are purchasing cars, they tend to try to mirror themselves through their car color selection and also be accepted in certain areas of their neighborhoods and society. And I think the color choice reflects that. And people tend to see things very similarly in terms of car ownership.
I think one of the problems, too, at least in the U.S. market, is that, as you all know, the cars on the lot were ordered by dealers. Mm-hmm. You know, Americans, by and large, do not have a car built for them. They just go and buy what's ever on the lot. And dealers want to have something safe that they know is going to sell, so they mm-hmm. go with kind of neutral colors. I wonder if there's a way of getting more interest in color. Any thoughts in those regards?
I was going to say, we've done some consumer surveys. You know, we've been in open-air malls and, you know, showed a palette of colors. And I would tell, you know, people that would come up to do the survey, you know, most vehicle lines have 8 to 10 colors. And they'd be like, really? I only saw 5 when I went to the dealership. So part of it is maybe the consumer's not exposed to the color full scale. You know, if you see a small chip, it's like, cars are very expensive. It's hard for me to make a decision based off a small chip. You know, if they see it larger scale, that may give them more of an opportunity to see what the color would look like or how it can really enhance a vehicle style.
Mm-hmm. But Paul, you think color is making a comeback?
I think so. I think we're going to see a continued advance of diverse set of color palettes. And I think technology is going to evolve in the sense that we're going to create not only more colorful colors, but the neutral colors are going to become more expressive. We're going to use innovations there to make them more beautiful.
And okay, yeah, I got to stop you. How do you make a neutral color more expressive?
Well, there's a lot of different ways. I think if you look back to what white colors were 10, 20 years ago, mm-hmm. they were basically solid white colors. You can make them a little bit brighter or a little bit dirtier. But with the advent of special paint layering and the advent of effect pigments, you can create these beautiful satiny pearlescent type whites that everybody is just clamoring for.
Oh, very interesting.
I agree. And, you know, a lot of those multi-coat processes or things that were done to enhance those color spaces were really targeted for the luxury market. Mm-hmm. And that was very much aimed at the baby boomers, where now we're going to see the millennials really have a large voice in where color goes. And what they like is what a lot of what you're going to see on the road.
Oh, very interesting. A difference in demographics could shift color as well.
Absolutely.
What are designers asking for these days, car designers? What are they coming to your companies and saying, here's what we want?
Well, every year we have an annual trend show. And so they're looking, what's maybe some of your audience doesn't realize, they have to choose their colors 2 to 3 years before they're actually in the market. And, you know, so they look at everything from fashion to interior design to architecture to consumer electronics. So they're looking so far ahead. Everything is very inspirational to them. But because they have to plan so far ahead, having a connection to these consumer markets is really gives them an idea of what future trends will look like for automobiles and how could we take this green that we're seeing in this industry and make it unique for the automotive market. So that's where our job comes in.
Okay, I'm sure people that are outside of the auto industry go, what, 2 to 3 years to get a color? Why? Why does it take that long?
Do you want me to?
Sure, go ahead.
Okay, I don't want to
have them jump in too.
Okay,
but
well, there are a lot of matching. Everything has to match. Everything has to be coordinated. And if you think about it, you know, you say 2 to 3 years out, but the automotive industry is a little bit complex. So right now, it's the 2018 calendar year, but some 2019s are going to start to hit the road. So there's a lot of coordination between the exposure work we have to do to make sure if those paint systems are going to, you know, last 10 years. That's what's required by the automotive industry. If all the parts are going to coordinate, because not everything is painted in the same plant. Where it's going to go globally, so that takes a lot of planning.
A lot of testing.
Yeah, there's a lot of engineering behind all of the coatings, and I think maybe it's interesting for your audience to consider what actually is on their cars to protect it. So the coating is about the width of a human hair, maybe a little bit less than that, and it's mostly organic, and it's expected to protect the car for up to 10 years. So we have to do a lot of engineering, and then the sophistication with color matching and all the add-on parts have to match just perfectly for that high investment to really be a pleaser.
Mm-hmm. Right. It's high durability, and it's also the largest surface area on the car, so it has to have the most aesthetic appeal, right? It's what you first notice mm-hmm. when you walk up to the car. But then the other thing that plays into those trends in determining what colors are going to be going forward is they only have so many colors per palette, and so they have to make sure that they have enough colors for all of their car lines. And as you can see, today is a very dynamic time in the automotive industry. Vehicles are changing. In North America, the truck market is increasing, and we're looking at what is going to happen with autonomous vehicles and ride sharing. And so the types of vehicles and the architecture of the vehicle is going to play a big part in what colors get chosen.
I'm sure you all love this shift to trucks in the American market. Trucks are bigger. they take more paint. How much paint goes on a vehicle?
Oh, it's very OEM dependent. It could be just a few small gallons of paint that actually get onto the vehicle, depending on, you know, the process and their pathing and such.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, how it's applied and the scale of the vehicle, you know, that all takes into play.
Well, even a few gallons, you know, I've lifted up, you know, gallons of paint. They're kind of heavy. Do automakers actually come to you at all saying, can you come up with lighter weight paint? Is there such a thing as that?
Well, I think a lot of it is driven by the automakers and also regulations. We want to make sure that we are sustainably driven, so you want to have higher solids coatings. And, of course, the amount of paint that goes on, you want to have just the right amount to fulfill all of those engineering requirements. So, sure, there's a lot of things in play like that.
Paul, when you say more solids in the paint, what do you mean?
That means the amount of solid material as opposed to the liquid volatile material that's in a wet gallon of paint. It varies. It's been improving over the years. A long time ago, the solids content, the percent non-volatile things going into the atmosphere was much higher than it is today.
Yeah, that's a good point. Some paints, at least in the past, I don't know where it stands now, you couldn't even get, at least in the U.S., because they could not meet the emission standards of this, these volatile organic compounds that were evaporating into the atmosphere at the paint plant. Do we have those kind of limitations today, or have the paint companies overcome that?
No, there's limitations. Unfortunately, every region has its own set of environmental regulations. So you could have different cans of paint in different regions for the same color. And you could also have different processes, right? Paints are very efficient now, especially with the processes that are in place, like these consolidated processes that take out some of the baking steps, so you use less energy. But regardless, if there's one color that's a global color, it has to be matched in any process and any plant around the world. So you have to make any of those regulations or rules apply to one color.
And now we're starting to understand why it takes 2 to 3 years to get a color on a car because of that complexity. I had asked before, what are designers asking for? And I got you guys off track. But Jane, let's start with you. What do you really see coming?
Well, they want, each of them has their own brand strategy. For example, like I said, we have a color show every year, and we present a palette of colors that's, you know, forward thinking. It's trend setting. And I know for a fact that they're not going to select exactly the colors that we develop because they'll want to put their own, you know, brand strategy behind it. So they might say, we like that blue, however we'd like it, lighter, darker. We'd like the flake to be silkier looking, or we'd like to be have it more sparkle. So there's always that design aspect of it. So our goal every year is to show them what is new and innovative in different consumer markets, and then have them come back to us with what they'd like and how they'd like it tuned for their specific, you know, their specific vehicle.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. And what we do as designers is we have to understand the market, and we look to that years ahead of time, looking at the obvious things like what's trending in fashion or in textiles or in architectures, but we're also looking at abstract things too, things that we have to tease out where color directions might be going. And then we show that in the trend shows, and then the car makers have to work together with us. It may have to be modified for a certain amount of sparkle, or it may have to be changed to fit a brand style or even a car body style. So all of these things play into the selection of the colors that go into the palette.
Agreed. And then also, you know, you're looking at it with a very fine eye. So someone may not realize the nuances that you're looking at when you're looking at color, like the sparkle and the hue and the travel and things that are very technical. But we try and also kind of map out, as far as a color gamut, where has color been and where have we never been before, so that we can move outside of those areas and go into new spaces. But even with that, I see that some of the trends are people are looking backwards and going and looking at some of the retro colors and trying to look back and say, well, you know, I may have had this color on a vehicle before. How can I refresh it? And it brings back that buyer again to be like, oh, I remember I had a car in, you know, the 90s, and now I have this color back, and it looks very similar. So some of that happens as well. You have the extreme high technology new spaces and then refreshing the old spaces.
Refreshing, but meeting the new regulations and all of the different application processes that we've been talking about, too.
Right, right, and adding something unique to an older color, you know, to make it look new and innovating. So you get that kind of vehicle heritage behind it, but then you add kind of today's nuances to it.
Okay, so you go to fashion shows. I imagine you go to furniture shows. You probably pay attention to consumer electronics.
Yes.
How do you know what's actually going to work? I'm sure you go to some of these shows and you think, what are they thinking? That's crazy.
There's nothing like automotive paint, right?
Yeah,
I mean, you can look at all those textiles. You can look at all those different products, but there's nothing like automotive paint. And when you look at a vehicle and walk around and see it dance in the sun and see the color movement and the depth of it, right? So that especially when you have multi-layering effects, mm-hmm. like a tint coat or something. But probably one of the bigger things that you see in today's trends is the trend towards maybe like finer, silkier flakes, which was something that we had in the past. And then in North America, we moved to some of these coarser flakes. Kind of the silkier look is more of a luxurious trend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and again, thinking of a vehicle as being such an iconic, you know, like you have your great models here, you know, we were talking about older car design. So being able to complement that with the right color and just that unique special effect, whether it's a silky flake or whether it's a solid color or something more ceramic where you just see a bit of sparkle, can really help the architecture of that vehicle really shine through.
Yeah, and it's all those subtleties that really add to the research that we've done to try to identify where color directions are going, and that's how we can still stay creative in black, white, and silver grays, because there's always something new coming out, there's always a new idea, there's a way to generate a beautiful color out of that space.
Mm-hmm. How's your track record of going to these shows, and have you looked at a color that you thought, nah, this has no chance of going anywhere, and get surprised that it does, or are you pretty good at picking out what's going to really be popular?
Well, from a PPG standpoint, so I work with, not only are we automotive paint, but we're architectural, industrial, and aerospace, so we kind of have our own internal color marketing group where we talk about what's being done in other consumer markets, and that helps us build where we see some commonality globally across those different markets, which means consumers are going to be more exposed to that color, and then there's ways that we can do it in automotive that they can't do it in other markets like architectural, for example, because we can add, you know, unique flakes mm-hmm. or higher sparkle or a silkier look or something that looks more opaque on one angle and then have a high sheen on another angle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, and then even going back to the comment about white, mm-hmm. When it started to take off, there were other sectors that were really moving forward with white in a new connotation. So there was the new context of white as a link to technology, whereas it had always been very silver-oriented. Yep. And then all of a sudden, white took off in textiles for sporting goods, for example, things that were sort of on the cutting edge mm-hmm. for something new and exciting, and then cars naturally followed. We have to change the way the public saw the color white, because it was always associated with service vehicles, mm-hmm. for
sure.
example.
Yes.
So a way to make a car look sophisticated, beautiful, luxurious, and, of course, very dynamic, had to be tied in closely to our white developments.
And now it's the most popular color in the world. But I mean, I would always say too, if you come to a color show and you like all the colors, then we didn't do our job, because you're really trying to look at the world market. And although the globalization of the automotive market really shows in our color popularity, and the trends are very similar globally, every region does have their own little nuances in what and preferences that they like. And so you are trying to hit upon each one of those regional preferences when you see the color show, and make sure that you're hitting the entire audience and all the different types of vehicles, whether it be small or large, or a transit type vehicle where it's taking multi-use purpose vehicle, anything like that. You want to be able to hit all the markets. And so you have to have a large array of colors in order to do that.
One of the trends I've seen at auto shows over the last 5 years is this satin finish. Mm-hmm. So there's no depth of gloss to it whatsoever. It tends to be an option, a very expensive option, on some high-end European cars. Mm-hmm. Do you see that ever going anywhere more to the mass market or not?
So matte finishes is what we refer to that as, and mm-hmm. I would say it's niche. However, At a lot of the auto shows, it's on concept vehicles, which get a lot of press, so it gets some notoriety. And there are some in the market, but you said that it's a very expensive option.
I want to say $3,000 to $5,000,
right,
just for
absolutely.
That paint job.
Absolutely. It's very expensive.
Yeah, I don't see it going away, but I don't see it really coming into the fact that you're going to look across the roads one day and see that all the cars are matte. Very much a growing market in the small mirrors or small pieces on the vehicle, but as far as the whole vehicle goes, it seems to stay as a niche market. And it looks good in some colors, but not all, right?
So, and not only that, you have to be careful when you
usage.
Wash it, because if you rub too hard, you'll polish it, and all of a sudden
right.
it'll look
yeah,
terrible.
You definitely have to have special considerations for that. But for years, we were working only with colors and high gloss, and then to play with the gloss level offered a different dimension
absolutely.
For us. And you could take the same color, if you will, and have it glossy and then have it matte, and it gives you a very different expression. So it gives a different feeling and a different connection mm-hmm. to the consumer. And now we're also looking at texture. So gloss, texture, mm-hmm. in addition to color, are some of the tools that we're looking at as designers to expand the choices for the market.
Another trend that we're seeing right now is a little bit of a return of two-tone paint jobs. Mm-hmm. You know, the new Jeep Compass and the mm-hmm. Toyota Camry both offer two-tone paint jobs as options. The new Volvo XC40 is another one. Mm-hmm. What do you all think of that?
It's great. Yeah. I think this is wonderful. This is something that could really open up a whole world for designers and being able to add color and different types of solutions for vehicles. I think this market will grow, and I think the consumer will latch onto it as a customization option for them.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think giving the consumer more options and the way they're breaking up, it's not the traditional way we used to do two tones. You know, you take the roof, the A, B, and C pillar, and then some of the lower and swoop it around like BMW and, Bugatti, but I mean, some things that are very unique designs. I think that's also changing the way color plays on a vehicle and kind of gives it more distinction. So that's definitely something I see growing as well.
Yeah, it's another great tool for us to have. Whereas a challenge for us is that we're usually working with a single color mm-hmm. that goes on this large surface area, as you mentioned. And to get that to look to where it shows off the contour lines mm-hmm. or the car body style and shape is oftentimes very challenging. But that's why we have metallic coatings, because that helps add to that other dimension to it. But to have a two-tone gives us an additional tool. We have now what graphic designers have, right? Mm-hmm. We're able to juxtapose colors.
I think that's a great point, Paul, because in the three vehicles that I cited, it changes the styling look
totally.
Of the car.
Totally.
It's not
yep.
just a different paint, but yep. to your point, it highlights different contours yep. and mm-hmm. styling lines in the vehicle. Yeah. Sorry, Nancy.
Oh, it does. Yeah. And I think it also adds another component to color harmony on the car and what all is going on the outside. If you're adding another color, then you have to look as to what's going on inside the car, too. So it just... It mm-hmm. brings it all full circle. When you open the door, you want to make sure that all those components are harmonizing.
Big trend that we see in the industry right now is this move to autonomous cars mm-hmm. and to ride sharing and ride mm-hmm. hailing with mm-hmm. Uber and Lyft and mm-hmm. the like. Does color play a role in this move to autonomy and mobility?
Yeah.
It should, yeah. I mean, you want your car to be detectable. You want your car to be seen. So there's science to be able to understand what colors are more detectable than others. But at the same time, there's not a lot of regulation on what is going to be used for this autonomous vehicle or, you know, what LiDAR system, what is the length mm-hmm. and so on and so forth. So the regulations have to be set in place so that the chemistries and the targets can be set. But I think color will always play a role in the science and appeal of the vehicles.
Oh, absolutely. I was going to say, so coatings or paint the exterior will not only be a protective decorative coating, but it also will have to have some functionality to it because, as Nancy was saying, LiDAR has to be able to detect, you know, what's around it. And, you know,
so you want a paint that's actually more reflective of radar and laser?
Correct. And so right now, darker colors, there's an issue with that, but through other technologies, we can make other layers more reflective. So we don't want to limit our customers and their the OEMs and what they want to design. And also coatings for lenses, because bad snowstorm, salt, dust, everything, easy to clean surfaces, antibacterial, smudge proof, glare, all that is important. So those will all need coatings and like consumer electronics. That's part of our business as well. So those are other coatings besides being color, coatings becoming a little bit more functional.
Yeah, the functionality of the coating becomes increasingly functional. Mm-hmm. I totally agree with that. And the other thing about color is the psychology of color takes on a different role now because some of the more recent surveys are saying that a lot of people are nervous about autonomous vehicles
definitely.
On the road. So color can be used actually to calm people down or to bring an added measure of safety that the car becomes more detectable. And it also helps branding. Like if cities now start to go to fleets of colors, then detection for people, hailing, robo-taxis and the like become much more facile.
Oh, so you got to keep going. How do you make people feel more comfortable about autonomous cars simply in the color?
Well, I think the interiors are going to play a bigger role. And I mentioned texture earlier, and mm-hmm. I think the haptic of color as well as the visual is going to play a big role to help ease people into this new world of mobility with self-driving cars. I think it's there, and I think color can be used for that. It's used for that in other markets already, and I think for autonomous driving, it's a good fit. So the functionality and also the psychology of color, in addition to protection and the aesthetics, are all playing a role.
Wow, fascinating. The psychology of color. I never even thought about anything to add to what Paul said on
mobility? Well, just that interior...
Go ahead.
Okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
So just that interior environments are going to be more inviting, you know, more like a home space. So maybe more use of materials and color that, you know, would make the person riding in the vehicle feel a little bit more relaxed.
Mm-hmm. And there could be different interpretations on how they be seen, right? So if they feel that they're being safer by driving a car that they're seen in more easily, is it because it's more reflective, like a white, or is it because maybe it's bright and colorful, mm-hmm. like a yellow? So how people interpret that will be interesting to see. The idea of going under the radar is not something that will be applicable
right. yeah.
to that set of vehicles.
So what do you think? Is it's going to be bright cars?
I think the future is bright and colorful is what I see.
Yeah,
I think there's still going to be unique options, you know, depending on brands.
Very good.
Yeah, and I think people are going to divide into groups, those that want to own a car and are going to pay for it, and they're going to want something really special, maybe something unique, individualized colors, for example.
Real good. With that, we're going to have to wrap it up. The psychology of color and the role it could play in mobility. I love this, but I got to thank Nancy Lockhart, Jane Harrington, and Paul Chorney. Thanks so much for coming in and
Thanks,
talking
John.
Color with
Thanks.
Us.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.